As we prepare our hearts for the scripture reading, let us pray. Holy and righteous God, in you alone are we to find the words of life. In your holy word alone, we find meaning for our lives. Help us to absorb what we hear today so that we might go forth from this place, announcing anew the coming of your kingdom. Amen. The first scripture reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Let us listen to the word of God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of the grace and the free gift of the righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It's on page 785 of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you've ever seen the movie Men in Black, during the opening credits, the camera follows this dragonfly. I don't know if you remember. It continues to follow this bug all around, and suddenly this huge truck whizzes by, and the bug splats on the front of the windshield. It's a clever opening scene for a movie. The window is absolutely disgusting. It's covered in bug guts. It's clever because there are many road trips I've taken when my windshield acquires a bug cemetery on it. You know, when you drive and tons of gunk is on the window and it's hard to see through, And when you try to clean it off at times with the wipers, it sometimes makes it worse. And it starts smearing everywhere. You remember that? Have you ever had that happen to you? And so that's when you have to get out of the car to make it nice and clean with a squeegee and some elbow grease. Now, bugs don't usually bother me. I look beyond the bugs to see the open road. But there are times when it's too much, and I need to get out of the car and clean my windshield. Now, if you use the dirty windshield as a metaphor for life, how often do we try to drive through life with dirty windshields? In our spiritual lives, it's hard to see God if our windshield is dirty. If we're so covered in disgusting things, it's hard to see forward. And I would imagine these are moments when we need cleansing or when we need to reevaluate our relationship with God. This Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent's a 40-day journey to the cross. It's a time when we self-examine and a time when we remember the ultimate sacrifice that Christ took for us. The practice of self-examination during Lent is similar to cleaning bugs off a dirty windshield. In order for us to see God better, we need to recognize our need of God. We need to read Scripture and pray. We need to be cleansed from sin, cleansed from temptation, cleansed from the things we're ashamed of. For some of us, it might mean we need to change our priorities. For others, we might need to remove temptation in our lives. In our scripture reading today, we hear about Christ's temptation. Jesus is in the desert. He's fasting for 40 days, and after, when he's famished, the devil comes to tempt him. "Command these stones to become loaves of bread," he says. "Throw yourself down, for you will not dash your foot against a stone. Fall down and worship me." The devil knows to strike at Christ's weakest point, when Jesus is tired, hungry, fully human. He tempts him. I'd imagine most of us have difficulty resisting temptation. Now, when I think of temptation, my mind immediately thinks of shopping, all the gimmicks and the advertisers pull, the clever product placement right where the kids' eyes are looking. The impulse purchases, the latest technology and clothing. How many of you, when you go to Sam's Club or IKEA or that giant Menards, which is absolutely dangerous for me, you go with a plan or a list, and sometimes you divert from the list, and you just add an item or two, and you get to the register, and all those impulse purchases start adding up. It can be very dangerous. When we were in seminary, our class traveled in the footsteps of Paul to the country of Turkey. And my favorite city, my favorite place of all, was Istanbul. It was the home of three empires. It's where East and West diverged for the Romans and the Byzantines and the Ottomans. When we were there, we shopped in the Grand Bazaar. And in the Grand Bazaar, there's miles of tiny little shops stacked right next to the other, each with bells, whistles, and shiny objects trying to entice you to buy everything. It's quite crazier than Morton Avenue and Veterans Parkway combined. There's things in those shops that don't fit in your suitcases, but they want to sell them to you anyway. Imagine the best salesman you know trying to get you to buy things you don't want. These folks are all at the Grand Bazaar. Somehow these shop owners could entice you to buy things you don't even knew exist or you would ever use. It's like as seen on TV products. When you're walking down the miles of stores, if your eyes stray into a store, the shopkeepers pounce. It's amazing. If you stop at a store for a moment, it's at least a 10-minute commitment. If you're bold enough to touch or pick something up or take a closer look, they reeled you in, and you might as well just hand them the money. They knew how to tantalize us with their merchandise. They would offer discounts. They would give us a cup of tea so we could sit for just a moment, and we would buy. And then when we didn't buy, we felt remorse afterwards, things we wished we would have bought but didn't. It certainly was an experience, but be ready to lose a lot of money when entering the Grand Bazaar. It reminds us how easy it is to be tempted. It reminds us how much we are tempted with our senses through sights and sounds and persuasion, buying things we don't even use or need or later want. Each day we make hundreds of decisions, some of them simpler than others. And similarly, in our faith life, there are times when we decide to follow God's way, and other times when we're tempted to go away from God. Yet the amazing thing is how much God loves us. Even when we don't choose God's ways, God still comes after us again and again. God still loves us. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he used all the tricks in the book at just the right time, when he was tired and hungry and weak. You see, sin and temptation are crafty. It's how sin and temptation usually work in our lives too. Sometimes at our weakest moments, when we're tired and hungry and weak, sin creeps in and has its way with us. The tempter is great at getting us to do things we later regret. Remember earlier when I was talking about those dirty windshields? I think sin creeps in the most when it's hard to see God. When we're hurt, when things aren't going our way, when we're lonely, oftentimes late in the night, when we're angry, when we forget to count our blessings and only focus on the things people say bad about us. Somehow sin has a way of taking hold and piling on, kind of like bugs splattering on a windshield. Splat, splat, splat. And the more sin that splatters in our lives, the harder it is to see God. Yet if we keep our windshields clean, if we reevaluate and self-examine, if we ask God to help us clean them, then we'll have a much easier time seeing God. And that's what Lent's about. During Lent, we not only ask for cleansing, but we also add spiritual disciplines. We should always be reevaluating our relationship with God and continually work to keep our focus on God instead of temptation. Part of the reason we gather and worship every Sunday is to learn how to worship God throughout the week. We sing and pray and read Scripture and study God's Word. It shouldn't happen just on Sunday mornings. It should be practiced throughout the week at home. We should sing and pray and read Scripture and study God's Word and then actively live out Christ's example at work and at home and in the community. I challenge each of us to examine our relationship with God and to take Lent seriously this year. Lent can be an opportunity for us to wash our dirty windshield so we can see God more clearly. Let's look at our faith, at our windshields, and if you're anything like me, it might take a little bit of extra elbow grease to wash them off. The Presbyterian Church's website explains that Lent began as a period of preparation for baptism. Adults were taught about the Christian faith, worship, prayer, and practices, and the final weeks led directly to baptism, which was celebrated on Easter. It was time for the non-baptized to learn about Christianity and to prepare for a new life in Christ. They would find ways to deepen their devotion to God when approaching Easter. And at first, early Christians would fast for 40 hours in anticipation of Easter. Then the time period of fasting was extended to a week. And during this Holy Week, Christians would read the passion story of Christ, which includes the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, the trial of Jesus, and the crucifixion. And during the 4th century, the period of fasting was lengthened to 3 weeks, and finally to 40 days. Lent is identified with the passion or suffering of Christ, who died for our sins. And 40 days is reflective of our gospel lesson for today, the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. By the 7th century, Lent excluded Sundays, which are the Lord's days, and are to serve as weekly celebrations of the resurrection. We have an opportunity to deepen our faith this Lent. We are given opportunity to renew our baptismal vows every Easter. And in baptism, God accepts us, whether our windshields are regularly cleansed or, like mine, a complete mess. Yet we know that traveling the road of life is a lot easier and more enjoyable with a clean windshield. Let's take this Lent to see God more clearly. And I encourage you to worship and pray. Use the daily devotional and practice sharing grace, forgiveness, and love these next 40 days. Amen and amen.